Sardis to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet. And you can give me house light so they can see their Bible, because they may not be able to see over the top of this. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice, like the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, the messengers. And the seven lampstands that you saw are the seven churches." Speak to us, Lord, please. May we be like those who walk with you on the road to Emmaus. May we have our hearts burn within us. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. I am negligent here. I want to remind you, December the 27th, last day to turn in your contributions for 2020. And December 27th is the last day to hand in your pledge forms for missionaries in 2021. Yesterday, I'm losing track of time. The 25th, wasn't it? Was Christmas. How many had a good Christmas? Okay, some of you did. I think four or five. Are you with me this morning? Yay, three of you. It was a quiet day around the Bartet house. And Nanette and I were there pretty much by ourselves. And some of you experienced the same thing because of COVID, people being confined to their homes. So I was walking through my bedroom when I heard a voice. And it said, hey, you. Let's go take some pictures. Well, you don't have to break my arm to make me do that. And so I grabbed my little 7D2 and the lens that was on it, the 150-600, and went out in the yard. Nanette had asked me, "Are you going to take pictures today?" I said, "Probably in the yard." And I saw something like 12, 13 different species of birds in my front yard. Gabby Hayes used to use the term yellow-bellied sapsucker. Has anybody ever called you a yellow-bellied sapsucker? Yeah. There's a bird by that name. It actually exists, and it was in the tree, the Chinese chalet tree in the front yard, and it was just eating away at the popcorn. Some of you call them popcorn trees, eating away at the popcorn on the chalet tree. I saw an eastern bluebird, Carolina chickadee. I saw a yellow-rumped warbler. I saw a titmouse. I saw a sparrow. I saw a blue jay. And I didn't post all the pictures, but how many of you know those same birds were in your front yard? Probably. Possibly. Did you see them? They were busy over at the Pepper House watching pelicans and egrets and herons and maybe some ducks. If heaven saw them, they wouldn't be around there long. He promised he's going to take me to see some wood ducks somewhere. The reason you didn't see them either was because, well, you're just not interested or you didn't pay attention. I learned something that day that I missed a lot of things because I just didn't pay attention. And having a camera caused me to discover that there are little bees that are green, and they're so small they could fit within the quarter-inch rule mark on your one-foot ruler. Tiny little things, but they're pollinators. And they'll sting you, but I've never had, in all of my time of taking pictures, I've never had a wasp or a bee sting me. I've had them land on my finger and took a picture of it. I've had the wasp land on the back of my hand. And he flew away. I didn't have to swat him off or anything. We live in an amazing world. And sometimes we're so busy and we're on schedule that we don't stop. Even with our own families, we don't stop to enjoy what's there. I looked at some of your pictures. I looked at the picture at the Jordan House. They had Chinese chicken. I think they've been inoculated with the vaccine and they're craving Chinese food. But she had that and some Chinese rice of some kind, and you could see they were having a great time. I looked at some of the other pictures and people laughing. A wonderful thing to be alive. It's a wonderful thing to enjoy family at Christmas season. For some of you, it may have been a difficult time because you're missing somebody who wasn't there. You're missing somebody who perhaps passed away, or maybe because they were quarantined and you couldn't see them. Difficult moment. John, in this text, finds himself on the Isle of Patmos. It's a rocky, arid island about 60 miles west-southwest of Ephesus, the port of Ephesus. He's not there as a prisoner of Rome because he killed somebody or because he tried to poison the emperor or because he robbed a bank. The reason he's there is because of the testimony of Jesus. He believed and shared the truth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the incarnate God. He shared the truth and believed it, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the one who was promised. He believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world, and he believed that Jesus was Lord. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, there are people who would contest that, and one of them would have been the emperor, because the emperor claimed to be Lord. He claimed to be a god, little g. He claimed that he was the Savior of the world as emperor of Rome. He claimed messianic status, not for the Jews, but he was the one who would bring peace, the peace of Rome to the world and prosperity to the world. You know, when you get the God complex as a human, let me tell you what it looks like. Nero killing his wife by kicking her with the baby in her stomach, killing his own mother, killing anybody that would be a threat to your throne. That's what a human God looks like. But the God that we're going to see here is the one, as John says early in the book, gave himself for us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He doesn't take life. He gives life, as Dwayne said earlier. He came that we might have life. Now, that has been interpreted by some as to having things, to having all you want. If that's the case, then John should have been in a villa overlooking the Mediterranean on some hillside somewhere, beautiful scenery, beach at his disposal, drinking wine from a golden chalice with seven vestal virgins feeding him grapes. But he's on the Isle of Patmos. A pastor friend of mine told me he put the Psalm 91 sign in his yard. It will not come nigh my dwelling. It didn't. It came right up on the inside, and he and his wife wound up with COVID. It threw him, because our world somehow has the idea that if you are a Christian and you believe right, then everything in your life will go the way you want it to. You'll have the best car in the community, the nicest house, the nicest clothes. You'll have golden faucets, or gold-plated at least, in your bathroom. You'll have a freezer full of food, and everybody will look at you and envy you because of your status in the community. John is on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus, nonetheless. Come on now. You've got to be kidding me. If you're going to serve Jesus and you're going to put your life on the line for Jesus, the least Jesus could do would be to put his life on the line. He did. Sorry. Then he could at least rush to my aid when I am in trouble. He could at least answer prayer the way I pray it. If you believe and you say with your mouth, you can have. And so a lot of people in this season are very disenchanted with things and discouraged. The enemy's good at lies. And when you believe a lie and suddenly you have to live the truth and you don't believe the truth you're living, it can be very discouraging. Give and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed out begging for bread. Apparently he never met Lazarus. He was begging at the rich man. That's not a theological statement. That is a statement of praise from a man by the name of David. He's not setting a precedent. How many of you know that there are Christians today who are being persecuted, who are being burned alive in their churches, and some went to bed hungry last night? We here in America have lived, I don't mean to be ugly, but we've lived pampered lives compared to the believers that John is writing to. And he's on the Isle of Patmos, a prisoner. That's where he's at. But notice what else it says. He says, I was in the spirit. He was on physically on the Isle of Patmos. The other day, Brother Roy came by to work on these air conditioners because some of them are heaters and air conditioners. He came by to work on these air conditioners, and if you'll notice with me, the Isle of Patmos is right there. You saw the bouncing arrow? Got that from Lawrence Welk. He didn't use it anymore, so I. Isle of Patmos. Here's a little town of Ephesus right here, and if you come kind of west-southwest or southwest, Isle of Patmos, 60 miles. That's where he's at physically. But spiritually, the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, that's kind of interesting to me. God knew where the island of Patmos was. God knew John was there. You know, you can meet with God in a jail cell, and he might even send an earthquake and open the door, and you get out, and the jailer comes to Jesus. In the Spirit on the Lord's day, say it with me, in the Spirit. Brother Roy was here, and I asked him, I said, I had a question for you. You taught physics, and I need a physicist to give me an answer on this. Are there any laws of physics that apply to such things as eternity? I mean, can you explain eternity by the laws of physics? And he said, no, because they deal with the physical world. Physics deals with the physical world. There's a whole nother realm that we walk oblivious to sometimes, that we don't see. But some of you have experienced it. You experienced it on the carpet of your floor at your house. You experienced it when you obeyed God and came and sat in here in a chair, and suddenly he dumped his glory bucket upside down on you. And you sat and you wept and you broke and you were euphoric and you didn't want to be interrupted. You were not having a problem. You were experiencing a different realm. Laws of time and space don't apply in that realm. Speed doesn't apply in that realm. Times and measurements don't apply. Measurements, physical measurements, don't really apply. How do you measure God? He's eternal. Can't measure him in time. How do you measure him in size? He's so big, the earth is his footstool, and the heavens can't contain him. How do you measure God? That's a different realm. And I think if we're going to survive what's ahead, because when you flip from 2020 to 2021, there's no magical thing that happens and everything suddenly goes wonderful. The experience of 2020 is not going to stop when we have Happy New Year. It's going to be continued. I don't know, but that it's going to get worse. Kind of believe it will. We don't know what's ahead. You're going to need some time with God. You and I are going to need some time with God. And that's not just a matter of praying over your lunch when you have lunch, Lord, and praying when you go to sleep. It means that you walk in communion with God. It means you do what I catch my wife doing sometimes. I go and she's in amongst all the gourds. And I peek through the gourds. And there she's reading her Bible. You're going to need the Word of God. You're going to need time with God. I think this is the time when the tares get separated from the wheat, when the real thing is exposed for what it is. This is a time when real faith is going to show up. This is a time when real faith is going to get people through. Not fantasy land, Disneyland faith, but real confidence in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not, some of us quote it, not yet seen, but there's no time factor here. It's a trust factor. Trust is inherent to faith. So there are times when you don't see and you don't understand what you do see. And that's where you T-R-U-S-T. You trust. You trust. John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And suddenly he hears a voice. Say it with me, a voice. This is not some ordinary human voice. I got a loud mouth, but this one he said sounded like a trumpet. Later he would say it sounded like thunder. Another time he would say it sounded like a waterfall, a mighty cataract. It sounded like Niagara to the 10th power. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I guarantee you it sounded much better than that. I heard a voice, and he tells us what he says. It's right there in the text in red letters if you have a red letter edition. He hears, and then he says this. Verse 12, I turn to see a voice. Caitlin, you went to a youth camp. Something marvelous happened. Somewhere in that auditorium, somewhere in that place, you heard the voice. You may not have heard it audibly, but in here you heard and you responded. It was interesting to me that the voice was behind John. God could have positioned himself easily for him to see. Both he hears a voice and sees this, and there he is. But he's behind. Come on, he could have been all around John. But he's positioned. God calls, and Caitlin responded. God's speaking to some of us in this place. He's been nudging. Remember what he said, Jesus said to Paul, how long are you going to kick against the... We say, speak to me, Lord. God's dealing with us in here. He's calling us. There's this urgency, this unction of the Spirit that... I need to spend some time with my Bible today. But there's so many things that get involved. So many other things that voices calling for our attention. Look what John did, verse 12. What does it say? And he, I turn to see the voice. And then it says what you would expect. And I saw. I turned to see and I saw. Those who find me will seek me with all of their... God can draw, but we have the responsibility of responding. Oh, we had a great service, great service. It was wonderful, it was wonderful. That was the call. It's the pursuit that must take place during the week. You read a scripture and it gets a hold of your heart. That's the call. But now I have to pursue, seeking God. Reaching out after him. If perchance he may let me find him. Oh, he will. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in a place that is terrible, in circumstances that are awful. We've got a pandemic. That's bad enough. Now we have political chaos. We don't know what's ahead there, what they're going to do or not do. I can tell you there are a lot of voices that's trying to explain things for you. I quit listening to Fox News. Number one, they turned. Number two, you can't trust any of those voices. They get up in the morning and check the wind before they check their advertisers and see if they'll continue to buy advertisement on their channel. There's only one voice you can really trust, and that's the voice of the faithful witness. The faithful, true witness, Jesus. Here is John on the Isle of Patmos. What's happening? Let me just see if I can put it in perspective for us. Here's Ephesus. Here's Rome. And there's a little island down here called Patmos. Insignificant little island. Yeah. Yeah. See if you can make it move up there. I can't get it to move. Oh. I made it. If you could see that map and you see that Ephesus goes all the way around. It forms kind of an interesting, it looks like the wing on an ultralight. Oh, there, let's see if I can make it work now. See Ephesus? Well, let me just bring it up where, that's the circle that's formed by those cities. Looks like the wing on an ultralight, doesn't it? And here's John down here, little old Patmos. So where's Jesus when he sees him? He's in the midst of what? Where's he at? In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And he says that the candlesticks represent the churches in these particular cities, right? So if John had to turn and look, he had to do an about face. And of course, it's a vision he's seeing it. But there's a reality that it represents. These churches are experiencing, well, let's see if I can make that work. Whoop. Oh, there's Jesus in the midst. Do it one more time, Earl. It may be the battery here. What's all around those churches? There's a beast out. There's a couple of beasts out there. What else? There's a dragon out there. What else is going on? Horsemen, war, famine, pestilence, scarcity. There's all kinds of disease, all kinds of things happening all around those churches. Idolatry, persecution, suffering. It's like they're under pressure, under siege. And if you read far enough into the book, you find out that God gave the dragon the power to make, the right to make war with the saints and to overcome them. I didn't sign up for that. He who overcomes. Well, how can I overcome if you give the enemy power to overcome me? Overcome them physically. Which way are you going to look for hope? Which way are you going to look? Are you going to look out here? Are you going to look over here to Rome? Where are you going to look? Are you going to look down here to Jerusalem? You know what he calls a synagogue that was in one of these cities? He calls it the synagogue of Satan. It wasn't the Jews. It was the Jewish leaders. It was a system they would not let go of, and they kept trying to make it work. And in order to do that, they had to eliminate the one who claimed to be the Messiah. Because if he's the Messiah, then this is no longer needed. This is over. They're being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted by Judaism, by a system that God established but was finished with. And they're being persecuted by Rome because the Jews are stirring up Rome, or not the Jews, but the Jewish leaders are stirring up Rome against. Where are you going to look for peace? Where are you going to look for strength? Let's just take your circumstances. A wayward child, a house that needs repairs and you can't fix it. You still got blue tarp on the roof. Where are you going to look for peace? Same place John looked. In the middle of the seven, he doesn't look to the candlesticks. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, he who began a good work in us will continue to perform it until he comes back. Your faith is being challenged. Your faith is being tried. Come on, you know that by experience. I don't have to explain that. John's faith is being tried. The faith of the people in these churches are being tried. Why is Jesus in the middle of the... Jesus, I don't need you in the middle of the candlesticks. I need you in the middle of my circumstances to set this right. I need you to straighten my son out. I need you to straighten my daughter out. I need you to straighten me out. Wow. It didn't go the way that Kenneth said it was going to go. It didn't go the way that Jesse said it was going to go. I didn't just not get the gold faucets. I lost the house. And the Psalm 91 sign didn't keep it from coming inside here. I believe God. Jesus is in the midst of the golden candlesticks. What is the priest's function with regard to the candlesticks? He would go in the morning and in the evening, and he would make sure that the candlestick was full of oil, that it had fuel. And there were instruments, there were tongs, and there were snuff dishes. And there were all kinds of instruments that went with the candlestick, and he would take and trim the wick. Anybody ever have an old hurricane lamp? If you don't watch it, thing it'll smudge up the lens if you don't get the wick set right. That's what the priest would do. Jesus is there in the midst of those seven churches, and chapters 2 and 3 are not just something, it was personally for seven literal churches, but he deals with issues in those churches that every church has to deal with. He's trimming the wick. He's making sure that their light remains bright. He's not there to make everything nice for them and give them everything they want. He is there to empower them so they can do what God has placed them there to do. You're going through hell. All of the devil's works and all of his imps, they're at work. Everybody that doesn't know Jesus at work is against you. Everybody that the enemy has control of, they will come against you. Come on, anybody going through anything at work? Other circumstances, the enemy will war against you through your own family. And he will seek to take them captive, which he knows will break your heart. And some people would do like Job's wife and say, curse God and die. Job said, if we take and get good things from God, then shouldn't we just give him thanks all the time, even when things go against us? Jesus is in the midst of Point Assembly in Providence. This morning, my friend over at Rocky Branch is having to stay home. He had COVID. It turned into pneumonia. Brother Justin, please pray for him. Jesus didn't say, you know, I'm going to give you authority over the dragon. I'm going to give you authority over the beastess. I'm going to give you anything you want. You just go ahead, you tell me in Jesus' name, and I'll just go ahead and bless your socks off. When they signed up to follow Jesus, I'm almost there. When they signed up, you remember Jesus didn't give them a nice trifold brochure that says, this is where we're going, boys, and this is what you're going to have if you follow me. What did he say? If any man's going to follow me, let him deny himself. I signed up because I knew Jesus would give me what I wanted. And when you got food, and it wasn't God that fooled you, it was a voice you listened to. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't bless. I'm not saying that we can't be blessed. I'm not a masochist. What I am saying is that if you're going to live for Jesus, then you may find yourself in an isle called Patmos or some similar situation. And then the days ahead, you may find out that you're being overcome by the dragon and the beast physically. But when Jesus promises these things to overcomers, he's talking about their faith. Oh, come on, Lewis. Overcomers, those are the, come on, we're more than conquerors. That means when this is over, everybody's going to be decimated except for the church. Jesus speaks to the church at Laodicea. Remember what he told them? Let me just preface that by saying this. Some of you sent me this video, so maybe you remember it. The preacher was saying that he had a vision, a dream, in which he saw the October calendar and a finger point at a specific date, and that's when the COVID thing started, something like that. Some date in some month. How many of you saw it? And then at the end of that, he says he saw another vision or dream, and he saw a fist hit the calendar in November, and all the numbers went everywhere. And then he saw Chinese troops and stuff on the streets and buildings burning. And he said, maybe that will happen, but it didn't in November. But this is what got me. He said, here's what you need to do. This is my advice to you. You need to stockpile some grub, you need to stockpile some gold, and you need to stockpile some guns and ammunition. Really? Most of us don't have enough money to turn into gold. And how are you going to spend gold anyway? Hey, can you give me change for this gold? And if I got hungry and came to your house and you had some stockpiled grub, would you say, sorry? And if somebody who wasn't a Christian and you didn't know came to your house wanting something to eat, would you shoot them? Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, this was their opinion of their self. They said, we are increased with goods and have need of nothing. We stockpiled. We got gold, we got grub. I don't know about the guns. And Jesus said, you know, you don't know it, but you're wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Listen to what he says. Buy of me gold tried in the... What is that? Where else does the Bible talk about something's tried in the fire, gold, as precious as gold tried? What happens to gold when it's in the fire? Does it burn up? You put gold, you put heat to gold, and what happens to it? It purifies it. The dross that's in it is loosed and it melts up. Get ready. There are a lot of things that you think you can't live without and I think I can't live without that are about to go up in smoke. But the things that are really important, our faith in Christ, our belief in Jesus, the peace of God, the joy of God, that's what he's calling us to. That's what he's calling us to the real Christian life, the abundant life, so that when things are going against you, oh, it's going to be tough, and there's a battle, no doubt. It's not like wake up in the morning and your house is burning down, and you go, yay. No. It's what John saw. And what did he see? He saw an anthropomorphic form, a human form. He called him one likened to the Son of Man, a messianic term, almost there. One likened to the Son of Man. Only this time his humanity was not concealing his divinity. This time his divinity was radiating through his humanity. He had been glorified. He didn't look like that except on the Mount of Transfiguration when John saw him. That was the only other time he looked like the sun in all of its brightness. And now his face is like the sun in all of its brightness. His feet like bronze that's been refined in the fire. He's got a golden sash on. He's white hair. His face, oh, goodness! He sees him in all of his divinity, in all of his glory, all of his majesty. Where do you want to look? You know, if you look at the sun long enough, you go blind. If you look at Jesus long enough, the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you're going to listen to a voice, don't listen to the latest pundit, the latest conspiracy theory. Don't listen to the gossip down at the beauty parlor. They do that, you know. My daughter works at one. She confirmed that to me. Don't listen to your own thinking. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Thou will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed on That's the only way you made it so far, Sean. You and Clay both. It's the only way you've made it, Dwayne. And you said it this morning. There's no other place to turn. And hear me. That's the key. Your faith is being tried by fire, but it's being purified. He's calling. He's calling this morning. He's calling each of us individually and us and the larger body of Christ. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am he who was dead and is alive forevermore. The call is there. Our task is to turn on purpose, volitionally. If you don't, you're going to miss out on the opportunity to have the strength you need. And some won't make it. I have relatives that have decided there is no God. Turn. We sang it this morning, and let's sing it again. Turn your eyes. Do what Caitlin did. Run to him and make him the source of your gaze every day, the object of your gaze. Don't set your affections on things here. But Dwayne said, we've got something waiting for us that is much better. And if we die here, to live is Christ. To die, gain. Father, thanks. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for speaking a word in season to us. Help us to honor your word, to run to the voice, to run to your word, to run to your presence, to run to you, Jesus, to your person, to make you the center of our life, to give heed to what you say. Trim the wick, fill us full of the oil. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You put the words of that song back up for us. If you're like me or not, we're going to finish that song, but I don't know if you're like me or not. Sometimes at home, Nanette will say something to me, and I heard the voice, but I didn't understand what she says, and I'm too much of a cheapskate to buy a $2,500 ear magnifier, hearing aids. And so I do what you have to do when you can't hear. I ask, I heard, but I didn't understand. Can you say that again, please? And sometimes I know I nauseate her maybe three times before I get it. Maybe that's the way it is with you and God. But you know, he doesn't get put off and she doesn't get put off. She'll just say it again. There have been times when I've had to say, Jesus, I didn't quite get that. Please say it again. God, speak to me again, please. Help me understand what you're saying. Maybe that could be our prayer this morning. God, and it's what Jesus said. He said, let him that has ears hear what the Spirit is saying, not just in that moment, but right now. What is the Spirit saying to you? If you don't quite understand, then you lean in. You get a little closer, cup your ear towards His voice. Speak, Lord, for Your servants listening. Speak, Lord, for Your servants, Your handmaid. I need to hear the sweet, gentle whisper of Your voice. Turn your eyes. Come on, sing it together.